Support for WVIK comes from Seifert Building Supplies, offering choices of cabinets, countertops, and hardware combinations to create or remodel a new kitchen. For an appointment with a design specialist, 563-391-5110. For more information, QuadCityKitchens.com.
Welcome to What's Happening QC, brought to you by Seifert Building Supplies.
What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening in Quad Cities? What's happening? What's happening? Gavin Porno.
Welcome to a new episode of What's Happening QC, sponsored by Seifert Building Supplies. Today we have on the show Mary Ellen Desjardins, who is the co-founder of the Uplifting Caregivers Association, or UCA. And UCA is a nonprofit organization dedicated to supporting healthcare caregivers through direct financial assistance and essential resources. Their mission is to empower those who care for others by helping them navigate personal hardships, such as emergency expenses, car repairs, educational costs, childcare, and basic needs. Mary, I understand that you have a big event coming up on August 30th at LeClaire Park.
Yes.
What is the end of summer bash?
Oh, it's going to be a great, fun bash. We're going to have live music from 11 to 6. Mm-hmm. We have a violinist kicking it off. We have a guitarist after that. And then we have Smooth Groove, who everybody knows in this area.
Absolutely.
So it's going to be fun. But in addition to that, we have bounce houses. We have craft tables. We have, you know, food trucks, mm-hmm. Ice cream, a lot of fun games, you know, your old fashioned carnival games,
cool.
You know, that you know, like 30 years ago,
right?
You know,
right.
Hot dog eating contest.
Ooh.
And the hot dogs are sponsored by Mendoza.
Okay.
You know, street dogs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited for that sponsorship.
Yeah.
So it should be like a ton of fun.
That just sounds like great fun.
Everybody to come out. And basically we're raising funds for caregivers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a definition of caregiver is anybody that gives care to another.
Okay.
And so you could be a nurse, you give care. You could be a police officer, you could be a firefighter, you mm-hmm. could be a CNA or a direct care provider.
Uh-huh.
So that is, over the years, we've had to give a lot of love to our caregivers,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to, you know, boost morale, help right. with an occasional bill here and there. Mm-hmm. And so we thought, hey, let's do a nonprofit to do that, to give love back to our caregivers and our healthcare providers.
Well, that's awesome. So is this event open to anybody in the community?
Anybody, everybody from age 0 to 99 and beyond, you okay. know, so just everybody.
Well, that sounds great. Let's yeah. get into a little bit of what is UCA and okay. how long have you been an organization, and give me the story.
Okay. Well, if you need to go back maybe 30 years,
mm-hmm.
I have a son with pretty significant autism, very okay. behavioral. Mm-hmm. And I was that caregiver years ago
okay.
That we want to provide for now,
mm-hmm.
you know, lonely in that, you know, caring, providing for their, you know, searching out the resources,
right.
trying to come up with the best practices for a child with autism
mm-hmm.
and didn't have a lot of support. You know,
right.
so fast forward, I did a group home mm-hmm. Situation and trained my staff. And then now we have, you know, multiple houses with a lot of other significantly impaired and profound individuals that we provide care for.
Wow.
And over the years, I noticed that I was spending 90% of my time really working with the caregivers,
mm-hmm.
you know, building them up. Raising their mindset from victim to victor mentality,
mm-hmm.
Helping them occasionally with a pop tire or towing, or even helping homeless caregivers get into housing so that they could retain employment and, you know, stay working. Mm-hmm. So we decided that we need to do this as a nonprofit, because not only is there direct care providers in a lot of agencies in the Quad City area, but there's also nurses and teachers and police officers and healthcare workers, and we're all caregivers.
Right.
And not to mention the unpaid caregivers that provide care for their home, in their home, for their child with disability or their adult parents.
Wow.
Yeah. That might have Alzheimer's or dementia. So it could be anything like that.
Wow. So just on behalf of the community, thank you so much for the work that you
welcome.
Do. It sounds like it helps a lot of people in more ways than one.
We hope to make a huge impact. We really do. Yeah, we have a lot of love to give. We also want to promote burnout prevention, create support groups, as well as give some financial assistance.
Well, that's awesome.
What's Happening Quad Cities is made possible by support from Seifert Building Supplies, inviting their homeowners and contractors to take their projects to the next level. Learn more at SeifertLumber.com.
Let's talk a little bit more generally about challenges that caregivers face, because I've heard in the news that it is one of the, you know, possibly least paid and most needed jobs out there. So talk to me about that.
Yes. Well, given the fact, just from some of the research that I've been doing, you know, there's over 300,000 caregivers just in the Quad City area.
Wow.
You know, that includes anybody from, you know, it could be a teacher, it could be a nurse, it could be a direct care provider, providing care for, you know, whoever needs it.
Right.
And the need is such, you know, there's a great need because burnout, you know, is high.
Right.
And sometimes the pay isn't at where it needs to be.
Right.
If I was to advocate, I would advocate for higher pay, that they should be paid the highest.
Because it's hard to care for others when you're struggling to care for yourself as well.
So. Yeah. And some of that is dirty jobs, you know, you know, that you have to, you're changing diapers, you're wiping faces, you're providing enrichment. And who enriches the caregivers?
Right.
Who's there to kind of say, hey, you got this, and, you know, let's keep going.
Right.
So UCA would be that person. And even if there's not a financial need, you know, I just think of, you know, years past when I was providing a lot of direct care.
Right.
The smallest of texts or the smallest of phone calls, or even a quick little note that got sent to my house made the world of difference.
Right.
So we would like to, you know, one of our smaller programs would be create a care drop package so that you in the community who might know somebody who is just being a superstar and a champion and providing it all at such high levels of care, you're going to nominate that caregiver. Mm-hmm. And then we will provide a spontaneous care drop for that person. And it also could be as simple as, hey, will you call this caregiver, you know, to have, you know, like that line of support.
Right.
Yeah.
So. And I'm sure, you know, feeling seen in the sense of, you know, having this event this summer to maybe they can come and have some fun, and also the community can see the impact that all these caregivers have.
Yeah. The entrance fee is only $5, but the caregivers get extra raffle tickets, you know, for our raffles. And we had a lot of community support from the community as far as raffle baskets and wonderful gift cards from, you know, the community, as well as some great sponsors that are doing some wonderful things for us.
That's great. So, let's talk a little bit more about UCA, the organization itself.
Okay.
How long have you guys been established as a nonprofit, and, you know, what does the organization look like?
Okay. Well, right now it's 100% volunteer. We're gleaning a lot of support from Quad City service providers.
Okay.
And a lot of their staff are providing support, to kick off to kick off the event.
Right.
And it's only been in existence for about a year.
Okay.
We did a small fundraiser last year, which was wildly successful, mm-hmm. and raising $2,000.
Okay.
Now $2,000 in the big scheme of things isn't a huge amount, but we were able to provide Thanksgiving meals and Christmas meals, as well as we all QCSP, Quad City Service Providers, did a toy run.
Okay.
And we were able to gather up a lot of toys. Mm-hmm. So we fed families on both sides of the river, Moline, right. Rock Island, and Davenport, mm-hmm. To provide caregivers in need with the food that they need, you know, to provide a nice Thanksgiving and Christmas meal, as well as toys for a handful of families.
Well, that's really great. So only being in existence for a year, is this mm-hmm. the first end of summer bash?
This is absolutely the first. So okay. if you come out, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be historical, right? So come out and support us. Right. And
so 10 years from now, we can all say we were at the first.
Yes. And you know, we're going to take pictures so we can even like show that on a slide 10 years from now very with good. Thousands and thousands of people.
Awesome.
But yeah, this is the very first year. And we've been gearing up for this for probably about 6-7 months and mm-hmm. preparing and having a great time. So
well, that's fantastic. Doing it.
Yeah.
I like to get guests to break out of their thinking about their organizations for a little while and just talk about living here in the Quad Cities.
And oh, absolutely.
I understand, you know, running a new nonprofit and doing all the things that you do probably doesn't leave a ton of free time. But what do you love about the Quad Cities when you're not at work?
You know, Quad Cities has become my home. Mm-hmm. And I moved here probably about 19 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I came to Iowa because I heard that there was better funding for okay. long-term care. And right. I have a son with pretty significant behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. So we came into this area. I found that because of the significance of his behaviors, right. that he would have been a really tough one to get services for. Mm-hmm. You know, he was extremely self-injurious, extremely aggressive behaviors,
right.
Severe property damage, behaviors, basically, you know, 911 response type right. of behaviors. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That a lot of families with autism, you know, with children with on the spectrum, right. especially the severe and profound, mm-hmm. you know, category, they are they deal with behaviors every day.
Right.
You know, and a lack of support, lack of family support, maybe you're doing it by yourself. You're just this lone little beacon in the night trying to provide services or research for services.
Right.
In my particular case, I had to do a deep dive and go, I need autism. I need to learn everything about autism
right, right.
and how to manage the behaviors because mm-hmm. I'm going to be the caregiver that's going to be there lifelong,
right.
you know, and mm-hmm. make sure that he gets proper assistance or proper right. care. So I went to every single workshop I could possibly go to, mm-hmm. Talked to the biggest behaviorists in the whole United States and practically begged each one of them to come to my house and teach me as his caregiver right. how to teach him. Mm-hmm. And I even remember telling, you know, some of the bigger names going, I know the kid is smart. He right. likes super smart problem solving. He can connect the dots. He can figure out how to get on top of the fridge and, you know, grab that bag of chocolate that I hid up there.
Right.
And he even had a real keen sense of smell. Mm-hmm. Like I could hide chocolates in my purse without telling him mm-hmm. and walk into the room where he was and he could beeline right to, you know.
Wow.
So he had some pretty interesting, you know, superpowers, let's say.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But he didn't know how to communicate. And yeah. I didn't know how to communicate and I didn't know how to teach him how to communicate.
Yeah.
So then started the journey on how to teach this child with autism mm-hmm. communication skills.
Right.
You know, so we ran into a couple of BCBAs mm-hmm. And pretty researched BCBAs, you know, Mark Sundberg, his brother Carl, Dr. Vince Carbone mm-hmm. is another name. I haven't talked to them in like
right.
a couple, you know, couple years, but
yeah, yeah.
But those are the big names in the field.
Right.
And I ran into Mark Sundberg, Dr. Mark Sundberg. Mm-hmm. And I begged him, hey, come to my house. He said, well, I can't come to your house, you know, but I can send my brother, Dr. Carl Sundberg. Mm-hmm. So he came. And to my shock, he was amazing, but he pointed out a few things that I as a mom was doing to reinforce poor behavior.
Okay.
Right. And that was my first experience at verbal behavior or applied behavior analysis or any kind of real therapy for my child.
Right.
We had been doing a traditional speech therapy mm-hmm. and it just wasn't going to cut it.
Right.
You know, when my son Mark would scream and yell, I knew that he wanted a cookie.
Right.
So I would deliver a cookie, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Mark. And he would stop crying. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
There's a win.
Woo, we got a win.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. What I didn't know back then was I was accidentally reinforcing his behavior.
Right.
So the next time around, he mm-hmm. would scream louder.
Right.
So then I ended up with a child that was screaming and yelling, you know, 24/7
yeah.
because he wanted, you know, his needs met. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was his verbal behavior on how to get things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, dear Dr. Carl Sundberg pointed that out to me and mm-hmm. I was devastated as a mom going, I'm making the behaviors worse. Right.
Yeah.
So I slowly learned, how to turn that around and how to teach my son sign language. And we first started out with teaching motor skills, fine motor skills, gross motor skills, you know, doing simple imitation skills, you know, do this, clap your hands, you know, do this, raise your arms, do this, mm-hmm. touch your nose. And then we morphed from gross motor skills into fine motor skills.
Okay.
And so the first 6 months, I mean, at that time, he'd been doing traditional speech therapy from about 3 years to nine or 10. And the doctors had told me he's never going to speak or communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't willing to accept the fact that he'll never communicate.
Right.
So then I pulled him out of school and developed my own little program for him.
Right.
And we started teaching him, you know, first imitation skills and then some compliance skills, because I knew I needed him to listen mm-hmm. and to basically to stop running, because he was a runner.
Right.
And I actually started running because I knew, and I, you know, grossly out of shape. You know,
you would have to keep up with them.
I knew that I had to be faster than the kid was.
Right.
You know, because we lived on not a busy street, but mm-hmm. there was big trucks that would zoom by. And the kid at 7 was a runner.
Okay.
You know, and so I knew that I had to outrun him.
Right.
To save his life. Mm-hmm. And a couple of times I had to do that.
Wow.
And so we started running. And I said, if you're going to run, we're going to both run. Mm-hmm. So luckily back then we were living in Homewood, Illinois.
Okay.
And there was a field in the back of our house. We backed up to a park, right?
Sure.
And so we ran circles in that field.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, he hates to run now.
Okay.
You know, so we ran the run out of him, I guess.
Right.
But he's an amazing individual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look at him and really, really get to know him, there's a twinkle in his eye.
Right.
And, you know, if you're having a bad day, spend some time with a guy on the spectrum,
mm-hmm.
you know, and or anybody with a disability. And
right.
they will. You're going to have a good day,
wow.
you know, after that, you know, because their good days are really amazing and
wow.
you have so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm almost an advocate for, you know, getting into the field,
right.
you know, getting into the field of caregiving and getting into the field of behavior analytical work.
Yeah.
There's a lot of autism centers, you know, in this area now,
mm-hmm.
which are amazing. But when I moved here, you know, in 2005, I think it was, no autism centers.
Right.
So I actually helped the Moline Autism Center get off the ground.
Oh,
that was
great.
The very first one. So mm-hmm. I taught them everything I knew about ABA, which is applied behavior analysis,
mm-hmm.
and verbal behavior.
Wow.
And I'm sure it's morphed into you know, something different now because it's been, you know, kind of a long time.
Right.
But, and there's so many different therapies that families could look into. But now we have, you know, like 6 or 7 autism centers, which is mind blowing, and a lot more support because of the internet. Now, back in the day when I was first trying to research what this was, you know, the first book somebody gave me was Bettelheim's book, which is the refrigerator mother syndrome, basically, that autism was caused because you didn't give them enough attention. Well, I BS. Right. You know, it's like, I have a lot of love to give, and I gave, I could love them. That's the easy part.
Right.
But how are we going to teach them?
Right.
You know, and that's what I didn't know. So that was kind of what set my path on the journey. And there's tons of, you know, we could spend all day. I could give you story after story about all the adventures of, you know, Mark and I's adventures. And really, a lot of people didn't know and still might not know how to deal with problematic behavior. And even and I'm happy to see, you know, like police response have task force. You know, the Davenport Police Force has a special task force, and especially trained police officers to handle 911 interventions with adults with disability that might be having an issue. And they're so kind and wonderful. At Quad City Service Providers, we've had amazing police force, you know, a response with such kindness and tenderness that it just, you know, it just makes my heart melt.
Well, that's awesome. And what a powerful story.
Yeah.
I'll wrap up our conversation today with a little bit of my own personal story. And I have a request for advice, I suppose.
Okay.
So about 10 years ago, my brother, who's 3 years older than me, had a traumatic brain hemorrhage and had a less than 1% chance to live. And thankfully, he's healthier than ever in terms of physical health and still with us. But it's becoming clear that, you know, life management in terms of, you know, making sure that the income that he does have through the job that he's able to have is put in the proper places, you know, making sure that, you know, the evaluations he needs for his disability payments happen and all that kind of stuff. So obviously growing up with my brother, I never expected that this would be a possibility of something that I would need to do. And so, like, I feel like I'm in this, I suppose, possibly the first midlife, just recently turning 40. And I'm starting to think about what are the things that I'm going to need to do in order to be a good caregiver for my brother, but also to see this as an overall, like, improvement to my life. Because I imagine spending a lot of time with your son, or in my case, being able to spend a lot of time with my brother is going to be a great time. But it is a transition from, you know, at least for me, kind of developing a relationship with a little bit of a new person. And so anyway, that's the soup of things that are up here. Talk to me about maybe some things that one who might be in my situation should start to do to prepare themselves for it.
Well, what an incredible, you know, foresight for you to, you know, like, your life will be altered and changed forever. And viewing it as a blessing, you know, like, I'm a totally different person than I would have been without this experience, right?
Right.
I think I'm a better human than I would have been. Less shallow, I mean, deep. I appreciate life at a greater level.
Right.
You know, so if you are caring for a person, look beyond what's, you know, like the duties.
Right.
And this is, you know, kind of a calling, and you're somebody's guardian angel, you know, because you're going to advocate for that person.
Right.
At the same time, though, you need to balance the hours that you put into that relationship, as well as providing some hours that you're going to self-nurture, you know, and making sure that your bucket is full. You know, if you look on our website, there's a wonderful animation. That's actually my other son, Jonah, he drew this animation, and it talks about that caregiver, you know, role. you know, and it has this cute little wonderful person that's a caregiver getting up in the morning, her battery's full, and then going to work and giving it her all, killing it all day. And then when she comes home, her battery's depleted.
Right.
So really being aware of when your battery's depleted and making sure that you're filling up that battery and really charging your battery so that you can you can be the best person that you can be to advocate for your brother. The other thing is to look at, you know, doing a trust, you know, a special needs trust. And there's a lot of lawyers that can do that. Also, probably guardianship is a good thing. That, you know, you'll have to, again, you know, you can fill out your own guardianship papers. You can file them, you know, or whatever. But and then also looking at what services that your brother might need. You know, in our particular case, we're in Iowa. And there's services here in Illinois, too. I'm just not as familiar with the Illinois services. So I might have to be researching that a little bit more. But in Iowa, like, we provide 24/7 care for adults with disability. And that's Quad City Service Providers. And we take the most significantly impaired individuals and provide an adult, a rich environment. Because, you know, we look at rights and restrictions. We look at, you know, individual with disability has the same rights as you and I. To go to Starbucks and, you know, I can, I can, as, you know, I can go to Starbucks, you know, 20 times a day and get a coffee, you know, if my budget allows. But so we look at their behavior programs and we put in place a very individualized service plan for them. And that goes along with helping staff, you know, staffing and training staff behaviorally and really looking at a good match for that individual. You know, I don't know if your brother, is your brother going to stay home with you or he lives independently?
He's currently living with my parents. So I think that in our, you know, base level discussions, like they're doing some pre-monetary planning for when this transition happens. So it's likely that he will, I think perfect case scenario today would be living on the property with us, but with his own space.
So, you know, there's agencies in the area probably that could provide what's called hourly service. So you'd have to look at what agencies in the area would provide that, that when you need a break and he needs a break from you too. You know, my son is living a very independent 36-year-old life. You know, enriched, you know, yesterday he went swimming with his roommates. And it's a house with three other gentlemen with pretty significant behaviors. And very big guys, you know, my son is 36. He just turned 36 and I can't even keep track of the ages anymore, but how old are you? You're way younger than me, but you know, but he lives with two other adult guys and he has staff, you know, and the team of staff that have come together, they're a bunch of guys, you know, with all different backgrounds. But they have created this bond that's just beautiful. You know, you talk to them and they go, hey, you know, Mark's my brother. You know, it's not a job for them. This is my family. You know, so, and that's such a beautiful thing. So if you can find staff that would come in and do activities and provide that adult enriched living for him, that of course has, you know, knowledge in brain injury. You know, because that's a, you know, we do have services through our agency for brain, for BI individuals. And, you know, you treat, it's a different modality than an individual with autism. And we're getting into elderly care as well. And that's, you know, you treat each individual, you know, based off of their strengths, their skills, their likes, their dislike.
Well, you mentioned your son having superpowers, and I'll say you have superpowers as well.
Well, my gosh, thank you.
Know, thank you again so much for, you know, developing this nonprofit and, you know, for everything that you do for your family, but for all the families here.
Well, I have an incredible team. You know, I have a co-founder with the nonprofit, and she's she's been amazing. And then she also is our HR specialist for Quad City Service Providers. But we have an amazing team, and I didn't start out with anybody, right?
Right.
And really the advice I would give you or anybody that's looking on to take that role is, who's your tribe? Who's your support person? Who's the person that you can call in the middle of the night and go, I just need to say hi.
Right.
You know, like, I have an incredible friend who's totally positive. Mm-hmm. I have not heard her say one negative word about anybody, right?
No matter how hard you try.
No matter how hard. And I've been looking. Exactly. Right?
You'll find that one person.
Yeah. My kids call it toxic positivity. But it's not. It's just wonderful. You know, so like, get that one person that you know that when you're down, you can be lifted up. You know, so I called my friend Deb and go, hey, Deb, I need you to bump me up. You know, I need you to, you know, really like talk me out of this bad mood or whatever.
Right.
I know within 2 seconds, I'm like, okay, Deb, I love you too. You know what I mean? 100%. You know, because she, you know, ultimate cheerleader type of thing. And I know my team at Quad City Service Providers, they're an incredible team of people that have gone over and above. So we call them my dragon slayers, you know. Because there are many a times I would walk into the office, you know, growing a business, and there's headaches in growing the business.
Right.
That I would go, okay, what problem are you going to solve today? You know, and get out your imaginary shield and your imaginary, you know.
And go for it.
and yeah, let's cut them down. Let's see how quickly we can solve these problems. But really having a tribe of people who like boost you up and go, you know, you got this, and he's incredible. The bad days might be bad. You know, like I know with Mark. His bad moments, it's not even a bad day. Bad moment can be pretty freaking intense, right? His good moments are like amazing.
Wow.
His smile just brightens up your life.
That's awesome.
You know, all you have to do is just go and sit with him for a second and go, okay, I just needed a little Marky fix.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Love that.
So you'll find challenges, but there's nothing that you can't solve.
100%. Well, thank you so much for coming on today.
Yeah.
I hope you'll come back next time you guys have an event.
Oh, absolutely.
Something you'd
like
to
we'll
share.
Be here. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you all so much for listening and watching on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Again, I'd love it if folks would subscribe however they listen or watch this show. Thanks again to Seifert Building Supplies for their support. And we'll see you next time on the next What's Happening Quad Cities. Thank you for listening to What's Happening QC. Our theme music is by Centaur Noir and Del Rockford. WHQC is produced by WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Support for WVIK comes from Seifert Building Supplies, presenting a newly remodeled kitchen showroom in Davenport. Seifert has 130 years experience in kitchen design, with design specialists on site. More information is available at QuadCityKitchens.com.